of our human problems stem from one event that took place a very long time ago. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you for joining us here today. When Adam and Eve made the decision to disobey God and to follow the advice of a snake, the result was devastating. Now all of us, every single human being that has ever lived, has a built-in default to rebellion and sin. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians, and here's Pastor Jim.
Our problem this morning began long time ago. It began perhaps at the first worship service when Adam and Eve gathered in that special place in the Garden of Eden, that place where God had planted two special trees, one the tree of life, the other the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan came to that worship service disguised in the form of the serpent, and he asked a series of questions which led to a dramatic, devastating division. Yea, hath God said, he posited. And Eve responded by saying, well, that's not altogether true. And then he said, God doth know that in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will become gods, knowing good and evil, i.e., independent of God's wisdom. They ate, and their relationship with God was altered. Independent from God's wisdom, they then set about to create their own wisdom, and Satan was more than willing to help them with his deceptive lie. In that moment, the world was set on a different course than the Creator intended. And two competing systems of knowledge vied for man's devotion. One, God has said, God's wisdom, revealed in His Word, echoed in His world. The other, as gods, we will determine what is good, what is evil. Those two systems of wisdom still compete today. My question to all of you who completed an educational milestone this year: which did you access? Are you today wiser in the wisdom of God or in the wisdom of the world? Let me tell you that those two systems are not on friendly terms. They are diametrically opposed. And those who choose the wisdom of the world have chosen a degree in destruction. That's what the passage says we're about to read. And if at the end of a course of study, you are not more deeply entrenched in the wisdom of God and more committed to the revelation of God and to His standard, then you are farther from God because of your educational experience than you were when you began. That's frightening. We're reading articles all the time about the high cost of higher education. Higher education now begins with preschool. It is a very expensive business. We're reading a lot about the lack of performance or the lack of expected performance in the school systems across our nation. Read a lot about dumbing down subjects, altering test scores, trivializing test content. And the wisest and brightest of our social thinkers are desperately concerned about that problem. It's my contention this morning that that's really not the major problem. That the cost of education and the destructive lack of good results is because education in most arenas has chosen to wholly ignore God's wisdom and focused exclusively upon the wisdom of the world. And the Apostle Paul tells us in this startling passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that those who choose that course are perishing and coming to naught, coming to nothing. That system of wisdom leads to frustration and failure in time and in eternity. Read along with me this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and listen to the clear division between these two systems, the system of worldly wisdom, the system of God's wisdom. They are not on friendly terms. They are in antithesis to each other. Now, as I read, you're going to hear the word wise or wisdom 21 times in these brief verses. And you're going to hear the word foolishness, which is the opposite of wisdom, 7 times. That's what hangs this passage together. And after we've read it, I want to give you 4 test questions by which you can determine where your focus is. Wisdom of the world, God's wisdom. Now, listen to the passage as I read. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is God's power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? Mark that. For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews seek for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power. Christ is God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Brothers, consider your calling. Not many wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth are called. Instead, God has chosen the world's foolish things to shame the wise. And God has chosen the world's weak things to shame the strong. God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things, the things viewed as worthless, so that he might bring to nothing the things that are viewed as important, so that no one can boast in his presence. But from him you are in Christ Jesus, who for us became wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not be based on man's wisdom, but on God's power. However, among the mature, we do speak a wisdom, not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, which God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew it, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, what has never come into a man's imagination, is what God has prepared for those who love him. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the concerns of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the concerns of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, in order that we might know what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the natural man does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to know it. He is not able to know it. He is not able to know it, since it is evaluated spiritually. On the other hand, the spiritual person can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brothers, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not able to receive it. In fact, you are still not able, because you are still fleshly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and living like ordinary people? Oh, listen, that is a sobering passage. It says that you can be the smartest person in the world, the most powerful person, the most entitled person, and be a fool. Or you can be a person who is considered by the world around you a fool, an idiot, a narrow-minded bigot, and be wiser than the world's greatest philosopher. What's the issue here? The issue is the ability to evaluate, to discern, to mark what is good, what is evil, and have the courage and the resources to choose good. That's what's at stake. And in the church at Corinth, that was being challenged, compromised. And Paul was concerned. And so he begins this magnificent letter to the church at Corinth, going to the very fundamental problem: which system of wisdom have you chosen to follow? And even those who had come to faith in Jesus Christ, but had not matured, were unable to fully participate, receive, enjoy, and experience the wisdom of God, and therefore discern good, evil from God's perspective. Now, there are four tests in this passage. You can test which wisdom you are following by these four questions. Number one, what does my wisdom say about the cross of Jesus Christ? Number two, what does my wisdom say about the person, Jesus Christ? Number three, what does my wisdom say about the scriptures of the Holy Bible? Number four, what does my wisdom, my philosophy, my knowledge, my education say about the person and work of the Holy Spirit? There it is. There it is. And the passage makes it crystal clear that in the wisdom of God, all four of those items are the source and the example of wisdom. Number one, the cross of Jesus Christ. What took place at the cross? Christ died for our sins. The cross reminds us that we are out of joint with God. We are rebels and we're going to die. The wages of sin is death. It reminds us that God Himself took care of that problem by substituting for us a perfect human alternative. Someone who had no sin died in my place for my sins, and through his death, he paid for my sins, experienced the wrath of God, and is now positioned to give me everything God desires to make me righteous. That's the message of the cross. It's not talking about a crucifix. It's talking about an empty cross, which once was bloodshed by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And the cross, in this passage, God says, is a source of wisdom. It teaches who I am, who He is. It tells me what His heart is like. It tells me what He did in order to provide for me a path, a way, a forgiveness back to Him. The world says the cross is idiotic foolishness. A dead Jew slain by Roman soldiers, rejected by his own people for messianic claims. You're telling me that's significant? That I owe something to that event? Yes, because at that place, at that time, God met you at your point of most desperate need. Number two, what say ye of Christ? Passage clearly says that God has made Christ wisdom. Let's turn it this way. In your philosophy of life, who's the most successful person who ever lived? Britney Spears? Michael Jackson? Bill Clinton? George Bush? George Washington? I dare say many of us who claim to be Christians really do not hold Jesus Christ as the model and ideal for our living. Oh, we like what he said, and it's fun to meet in his name, and it's kind of nice to know that someday he's going to take us to heaven. But in this life, you got to be real, man. You got to be, it's dog eat dog out there. You got to play by the rules of the game. We even have a term that is the real world. No, that's the false world. This is the real world. And if you want to know what real people are like in God's real world, listen to what he said. This one is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus is not just the one who went to the cross and died. He is the one who in his life modeled all that pleases God, the Creator. He shows us what God intended when God created Adam and Eve. He is the most successful human model. Now, if you really believe that, you'd spend as much time in the Gospels as you spend in the newspapers, trying to find out, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? What was Jesus like? When I meet this situation, that situation, how should I respond? Well, you respond like Jesus did, but you can't do that if you don't know how Jesus did it. What should I say when I'm confronted with this question? Give them the perfect answer. Where do I get it? From the lips of Jesus. What does your system of education teach you about Jesus of Nazareth? God says, he's the model by which you and I are going to be judged.
These daily lessons are available on single CDs. If you would like your own copy for your use at home, we do have them available. Today's lesson is titled, The Degree That Destroys. And for your gift of $7 or more, we'll be glad to send you this single lesson. As usual, there are several ways you can order. First of all, you can call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or you can order on the internet when you log on to rightstartradio.org. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Remember, too, Right Start is listener-supported. Recently, at the commencement ceremony of Grace College and Seminary, Pastor Jim received an honor from his alma mater. The video of that presentation is available on our website, rightstartradio.org, or on our Facebook page. Now, we here at Right Start wanted to give you, our listeners, a chance to see and hear a little about Pastor Jim, his humble beginnings, his passion for the Word of God, and in sharing that Word. You may never get to meet Pastor Jim in person, this side of heaven, but this video will allow you a glimpse into his life and into what still motivates him to study and share God's Word. I hope you'll take the time to watch. I'm John Skillman, so thanks for listening today. Plan now to join us again Thursday at this same time when we'll be back with our next edition of Right Start.